Hello, everyone. My name is Linda Karanzalis. I'm a board certified cognitive specialist, former special education classroom teacher with over 25 years of experience. And today we're going to talk about and demystify what exactly is a nonverbal learning disorder. I also would like to share with you that I'm going to give you my personal background in addition to my professional background, in better hopes of helping you that I do have a nonverbal learning disorder and I've walked the path and I've lived through it. So we greatly need this perspective because there is so much that we don't know about NVLD. And I'm hoping that by the end of this, you will definitely be feeling much more clearer and understanding NVLD. I only have 45 minutes. This is like my third time recording it. Every time I do it, I go over. So I have all these screens in front of me. I have a timer, I have my notes separate. You're my guinea pig audience because I've never done a PowerPoint on Zoom with different screens. So please bear with me. So with that said, let's get into exactly what is NVLD. NVLD is very, very confusing. We don't have enough information on it. Oh, I see here that my picture is on top of there. So let me move it. It's very confusing because of the name. Nonverbal learning disorder implies that we don't speak. We are very verbal. When I tell other professionals that I have NVLD, they look at me very confused and say, what do you mean you speak? How can you have a nonverbal learning disorder? And then I explain to them that no, I don't get nonverbal communication. People with NVLD are missing all of that. But people usually think that it means that we don't speak, like I said, and then they start thinking that, oh, well, maybe we're mentally challenged. And we're not mentally challenged, just like a lot of people that don't speak that are nonverbal are not always mentally challenged either. So those with NVLD have average to above average intelligence. Why is it, why is there so much not known about NVLD? Well, we just don't have enough research. It's not included in the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Disorders. It's like the Bible of all of these disorders. That we need, unfortunately, we're not labels, but we need this so that we can get identified and have treatment. It's not recognized. The Nonverbal Learning Disorder Project is a nonprofit organization who is working to change that. And they are funding research with Columbia University to show that, yes, this is a separate disorder. There's a lot of overlap. So there is ongoing research, and the researchers at Columbia have concluded that 3 to 4% of children in the USA have a nonverbal learning disorder. So there's an underserved population of all ages. And having this in the DSM would certainly make more funding available so that we could have more research and better help people. It's my belief that once we have this, that we can save years of people needlessly suffering with NVLD, because it can be quite a hard road with NVLD, as I have experienced that myself, in my earlier and younger years before I was identified. I'm referring to the work of Albert Mehrabian, sorry if I didn't get his name right, from University of California, and his research concluded with what he came up with is the 7-38-55 rule. That is that 7% of communication is only the words we speak, 38% is tone of voice, which is pitch, speed, tone, rhythm, and pauses between words. 55% is body language, facial expressions, and postures. All of these nuance and subtle symbols of nonverbal communication are what those with NVLD struggle with or don't pick up on at all. So that's 93% of communication that we are missing out on, meaning that when you speak, the meaning of what you're saying can completely be changed by the 93% of nonverbal communication. So if I say to you, I'm fine, someone with not NVLD will believe that. But because they're not picking up on the tone of voice and the body language, really saying, I'm not fine. Okay. So it can quite change the meaning of everything. And you can imagine the great disadvantage one is that when they're not understanding what's going on, you can be easily led, gullible, naive, manipulated, because you're just not understanding. This is devastating. And I've seen many sad experiences. But it's not all doom and gloom. This is why we need to have it identified. if you are not picking up nonverbal communication, you don't know if somebody likes you or if they're making fun of you or they're putting you down. I've had, you know, some young adults or kids that are on jobs and they're, you know, making minimum wage and they're being manipulated and saying, other people are saying, hey, I need money. And I had a couple of people in particular just giving away money and then being set up for those type of situations because they desperately want to have friends because they don't have any. So you need to be very verbal and explicit when you talk to someone with NVLD. And what you'll hear quite often is, that's not what you said. And they may argue with you endlessly and not give up on that because they're only getting 7%. They're being honest with you. They're not being difficult. So, and you may think I have a future attorney on my hands because they will argue and argue and argue because they're not always knowing that they're missing 93%. They may not have been identified or they may have been, but they're still not experiencing what it's like to be processing language fully. So it's very, very, very frustrating. We come to exactly what is NVLD? Well, the diagnosticians that I've referred to, neuropsychologists, say that no one ever really fits this the same way. It's just like when you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. Same thing with NVLD. There's a much variation and it could be from mild, moderate to severe. A lot of things I'm telling you are not research-based because we don't have the research, but they're from my personal experiences as well as working with hundreds upon hundreds of people with NVLD over the years. So just keep that in mind. So there's a lot of overlap and it's very confusing because it can look like ADHD or autism, high functioning autism, which used to be called Asperger's. It's a shame that that was taken out of the DSM because it helped a lot of people. So I may refer to that as Asperger's, but you know, it's high functioning autism. And I really don't even like saying high functioning autism because that's very offensive to people that are on the lower end of the scale. But the brain pathology is different. We do know that even though these symptoms overlap, the causes are different. Those with NVLD have smaller spleeniums that we know from some research. We don't know the role that the splenium plays, but we do know that their spleeniums are smaller. And that is part, the splenium is part of the corpus callosum, which connects the left and right hemispheres, and there's thought to be damage in the white matter of the brain. But we need more research. Many times NVLD is misdiagnosed as ADHD, and they are put on medication for that, and it's not helpful, and it puts them at risk for side effects, unless they have both a dual diagnosis like I myself do. So the common strengths of some of these disorders are when they overlap, or especially with autism, is spelling, decoding, fluent readers, excellent vocabulary, have a wealth of information because they process a lot of information factually, but they're getting a lot of rote memory, but they may not understand the concept of it. Okay, so they're getting in, each piece of information is coming in, but it's individualized. They're not making the connections for the overall concept for the bigger picture. And very high verbal intelligence. So the core deficits of NVLD are what we talked about, 93% missing nonverbal communication. That impacts relationships, friendships with everyone that you deal with, bosses, very poor visual spatial, math, learning, reading comprehension can be poor, logic and reasoning, which is higher order thinking, fine and gross motor skills, executive functioning, which we seem to know a lot about today. Most people know about that. And that goes with all these disorders. And the emotional byproducts is actually struggling with all of these difficulties. Those with NVLD are unlike those with autism, where they do have engagement with others. They do have joint attention, and there is a social reciprocation going back and forth. So as you can see with the slide, we have our communication, visual, spatial deficits, and logic and reasoning deficits, which I kind of went over, but this gives you more specifics. Don't feel like you have to write it all down because I'm going to make this as part of the handouts that you can print out. So visual spatial deficits is like, where's your body in space, walking into a room, being clumsy, getting lost very easily in buildings, kids following other kids that are know that they're in the next class because they don't know how to get there. They get lost. They don't know where their body is in space. A lot of teens are excited to drive. Most NVLDers are afraid to drive. falling out of desks, chairs, balance, coordination, telling time. Higher order thinking is logic and reasoning. Like I said, making the connections, kind of like not seeing the, you know, seeing the forest from the trees. Inflexible and rigid thinking. A lot of times you'll say to someone like a kid, you know, do you want to do this? And you know that they like it, but they just shut you down. No, no, no is the first response because it's a change and it's about thinking about doing something in a different way. And they're interpreting things very literally. So these are some of the things that you can look over if you want to print it out. One of the other things is not getting jokes, idioms. I had a kid that a younger child that, you know, heard it was going to rain cats and dogs, and he got really scared because he thought these animals were going to come down from the sky and get hurt. It sounds kind of funny, but it's not when you're in the situation. It's very high anxiety provoking. So a lot of these have crossover. A lot of them have similar symptoms. I've already shared with you the visual spatial. Those on the spectrum, you know, have strengths. That usually can, you know, I had one kid that could tell you the whole New York subway system, very good visual spatial processors, better in math. Both tend to overtalk and give a lot of details because they are not seeing the whole big picture. So they give you like indiscriminate, like pieces of information. So instead of just saying, I went to the mall and I bought this, you know, they could tell you everything they did. I walked out of my house, I got in my car, I went to the gas station and this happened. Okay. And you're thinking, we'll just get to the point. So they can be over talkers. And that can go with ADHD as well, but the cause can be different. Could be they're hyper impulsive. So some NVLDers never learn how to ride or swim bike, or it can be very, very delayed. I can tell you the navigator changed my life. Before that, I couldn't get anywhere. I could get from my house to where I wanted to go. But let's say I went from my house to the mall and I wanted to go to the mall to another location. That would be very difficult for me if I didn't leave from my house. So the navigation system, GPS, has really changed a lot of lives for people. Now, the poor executive functioning skills, like I said, people seem to know a lot about this. I talked about flexible thinking already. So, you know, we have flexible thinking, working memory. You need that for math. You have to think about multiple facts in your head, use it without losing it, following a recipe, doing lots of things in life, self-monitoring. How am I coming across? That's called metacognition. Do I need to change my tone of voice? Am I talking too loud? Am I annoying somebody? Planning, prioritizing, time management, you know, getting homework done, doing things around the house. You know, no matter what age you are, you need these skills to function. Starting tasks, ending tasks. So you can see all of these executive functioning skills here, and they're poor with all of these disorders. And also with going with the, I want to get back to the literal thinking. When you're a very concrete learner, you need to be able to learn how to take that and go more to the abstract. And that's where the problems come in with the logical thinking. And you need somebody to help you with that, to help you figure things out so that you can learn and eventually do these things on your own to become independent thinkers and problem solvers. NVLD significantly impairs the quality of life across the lifespan in all environments, school, work, home, friendships, love relationships. One of the things is that a lot of repetitive questioning. And that can really annoy other people when you're asking a lot of questions. But NVLDers do this because they need to know what's going on. Just like one wears glasses, if you need glasses and you take them off and you can't see that well, you're going to be challenged. Well, NVLDers, it's just like that. They have to ask the questions. They're not trying to be annoying. They're not trying to be difficult. I've seen a lot of NVLDers be diagnosed with oppositional defiant disorders, but they're not. They're really just trying to understand. So I teach them to say, to teachers, especially in school that don't know about NVLD, they may think that they're being challenged. They're not being believed, that students are being difficult, to say, hey, I am not trying to give you a hard time. I really don't understand. So that they don't take it personally. Your boss can take it personally. Your spouse, your friend can take it personally. It has nothing to do with you or someone attacking you. It's really just all about them trying to understand. So please keep that in mind. And again, this isn't going to go over well in work. Problems with teachers, friendships. I can give you one example where a woman was at a social event And she was asking someone a lot of questions, and this other person was getting mad and just finally came out and said, "What are you, a detective?" And the NVLD, and I hate to say NVLDers, but I'm doing that for clarity purposes, said, didn't get that. "What do you mean? No, I've never been a detective." Instead of getting like, "Hey, back off. You're asking too many questions and I don't like it." So wasn't reading the tone of voice and the sarcasm. And it wasn't until later on that, you know, her friend told her, a friend that was well-trusted, that said, "Hey, so-and-so was upset because of this," that she was able to learn from that experience. So if you have your inner circle of people in your life, you're very fortunate because they can help you learn and grow and get better in social situations. On the job, people can leave meetings and not have a clue of what they're supposed to do. And then others may think they're just lazy. They're not doing their job correctly. They're not as intelligent as they really are, because again, they only got 7%. They're not really sure what they have to do to follow up to meet the responsibilities on the job. Okay, so the paradox is that although we appear, you know, very knowledgeable, bright, we are, people don't see that. It's not visible to the naked eye. So when you try to tell somebody, just like with ADHD, you're often not believed, and you can actually make the situation worse for yourself. So a paradox is a statement where we have basically the information that, yes, this is true, but others don't believe it. This is very frustrating because we have invisible differences, and then people come to false conclusions and there's a lot of rejection. If you tell somebody that you have cancer and you're going to chemo, they may say, "Let me drive you there," or, you know, "You can't eat certain foods," or you can't keep it down. They may offer to make you soup. If you have a medical bracelet on and you're identified, then you have a problem and you pass out, they might say, "Oh, this person needs insulin." It's not like that with NVLD. NVLDers don't get the assistance they need, just like other people that are neurodivergent. They are different from neurotypicals. They think and do things differently. And neurotypical people are the majority in the world, and we have to conform to those standards. So it becomes very, very, very difficult to do that. And then when, just like with parents, may tell other parents looking for support, my kid does this or that, I don't know what to do. And they may say, "Hey, my kid does the same thing. This is normal." And then parents often feel like they're ostracized, and they kind of get a feeling of what it feels like to be NVLD. Because if you try to tell other people, often you're not believed and they come to these faulty conclusions. So it is a very painful disorder. I'm just looking through my notes here to make sure that I'm staying on task. Okay, so I am watching my time. It looks like I have about 20 minutes left. So to deal with all of this pain and confusion, NVLDers wear masks. Okay, they'd rather be seen as, hey, uncaring, than being seen as dumb or foolish or stupid, which was what a lot of people have shared with me and have told me over the years. I'm not a bad person. Why can't I get what other people are doing? Why are they mad at me? I feel like an outsider looking in. There's a lot of non-acceptance. There's a lot of shame. And when you're in a neurotypical world, you have to function according to those standards, because that's what's expected of you. So you have to alter. If you're a parent and you're neurotypical, or you're someone dealing with an NVLDer, alter your way of thinking, because they're not operating on the same system that you are. Often lying is a problem. Parents will think, "Well, my kid lies all the time." Okay, lying, yeah, that can be common for teens. But a lot of times people are lying of all ages because they're embarrassed. They can't meet the expectations that are expected of them. So, you know, rather than saying that, younger kids don't know how to say that. They don't know what's going on. It comes out in these subconscious behaviors. And as you get older, they may be more conscious. You may mask more when you're at work, when you're around people that are outside of your inner circle, where you can't be really who you are and accepted. So you start wearing these masks. And a lot of times these masks can be used when they're tweaked in a positive way. Like a lot of comedians wore that class clown mask in school. They'd rather be seen as funny than as being embarrassed for not understanding what's going on when you're missing all that nonverbal communication. We all know people who are charmers, who are one-uppers. They, you know, with NVLD, it can feel like you're in a competition all the time. You just want to be like everybody else, and you don't want to stand out in a negative way. So you wear all these, you know, people pleaser, drama queen. being very sensitive, because after a while you become very sensitive, or being, you know, a complainer. A lot of times things are so hard, so they will share, oh, well, this was hard for me, that was hard for me. And people think you kind of want special attention. So, you know, when you're afraid of being rejected, you hide the shame. And that's when people start wearing masks. A lot of NVLDers are very angry at others from the ongoing criticism they get from being misunderstood. And people don't really have the time or inclination to help today. We're so much used to immediate feedback that they don't have time because they have their own responsibilities and things to do. And you may just be getting in their way. So even though some may understand, they just, you know, have their own things they have to deal with and may not be able to have the extra time to give, to help out, to explain to someone. The emotional byproducts of having NVLD and being neurodivergent can be absolutely devastating. My experience is NVLD suffer much more than those on the spectrum that are high functioning because they are more aware of their feelings. They want to fit in. That's not that people that are Asperger's or high functioning don't want to, but there are there's a population that they're really very happy on their own. They don't see a need to be around people and they're quite content. NVLDers are very aware of what's going on and that they are being rejected and they do want to. So they experience this much more on a higher level intensity, and they may develop RSD, which the ADHD community has really identified that is rejection sensitivity dysphoria, where they're very, very sensitive from being rejected continually. Depression, anxiety. I see a lot of OCD with NVLD. According, you know, there's no research on this, but I've had parents call me that OCD, especially in myself, I've recognized when I was younger, matches with what these parents are telling me, that it develops because of a coping mechanism of dealing with NVLD, because the anxiety is so high. It's like trying to nail the wind on the wall, or it's like you're walking on jello. You're never sure of what's happening. And did you understand? The anxiety is so, so high. There's a high suicide rate. Now, there is an old study by Rourke. It's an old, outdated study. We don't have anything updated, and some people disagree with how the study was done. But I have seen people with NVLD. There is a high suicide rate, but it has gotten better over the years because the autism awareness has paved the way. We now have a lot more understanding, and a lot of the same interventions that we use for autism and ADHD can be used for NVLD. But we still need the diagnosis and the treatment, because there's a lot of things that we do need to address with NVLD that we don't have right now to address their visual spatial needs more than these other disorders. So binge eating, learned helplessness. I see a lot of parents overdoing for their kids because they feel sorry for them. That is the worst thing you can do. In my generation, you know, we had a lot of freedom. We had to figure things out on our own. And it was a good thing, because we had to learn how to think and problem solve. Parents today, I'm seeing a lot of kids that just don't have the resilience. And if you're gonna make it with NVLD, you have to be with NVLD, you have to be resilient, and we need to raise resilient kids. Meaning we teach them, we don't coddle them because they have it so tough, and we want home to be a softer place to fall because the world is so tough. We can do that with balance. We can understand, and I'll tell you how to do that. But I have adult that making their kids like grilled cheese sandwiches. If you have poor visual spatial skills, you can make a grilled cheese sandwich unless you're absolutely so severe. And I have not, you know, there are some that have great difficulties, you know, buttons, zippers, getting dressed. Again, it's not the same for every person, okay? But we can't coddle. We have to prepare kids for the future, because there's a world where there's gonna be no one there to help. So it is a balance, okay? Codependent. There's a lot of information on codependency. We can get into abusive relationships because we need assistance from other people, and there is no assistance. So we can get in relationships with others who need to feel superior to somebody else to feel good about themselves. or we can get attached where we can't leave these relationships, even though they're unhealthy. They're not all highly abusive relationships, but they're still codependent. And again, it varies to what type of relationship it is. So I see a lot of codependency that I don't see talked about with anyone with learning disabilities, which I do talk about in my book. Post-traumatic stress, I see a lot of people that you're not in Iraq anymore, which I had a conversation with another therapist about. Even though, you know, you have come so far and you've learned how to cope, you have a lot of negative traumatic experiences, and you may feel like you're still in the war fighting when you're not, because it's the lingering trauma. Things may still be a struggle and a lot better for you and not as bad as they were in the past if you've gotten the right kind of help, but there's a lot of trauma there. Again, these things aren't proven. These are things that I just see across the board, the same things over the years that I see classically patterns reoccurring time and time again. So I see a lot of isolation, fear of reaching out because of the rejection, and the social rejection can be absolutely devastating. But what I am seeing on for resilience is during the pandemic, those with NVLD are doing better than neurotypicals, because they are used to being alone. This is the norm for them. They have learned how to cope without seeing people and having friends and a lot of contact. And to neurotypicals, this is extremely difficult. Not saying that NVLDers and neurodivergents are happy with this all the time, but they have a degree of learning over the years. This is nothing new. This is what is their norm. Now you can understand that. And a lot of the kids are telling me, hey, I don't feel so bad anymore. Now I know everybody is homebound and they can't see their friends, and I don't feel like I'm missing out on such things anymore. So there's a lot of emotional difficulties. A lot of people have college degrees with NVLD, but they cannot use them or hold down jobs because of the social communication deficits are that severe. Again, there are other NVLDers who can hold down jobs. Some will move out and come back home. Some will be able to be independent. It depends. Some will want help, some won't. Some will be so angry and misunderstood, and depending on the kind of supports that they've had, may not want any help. And for those, unfortunately, you have to do some tough love. If they're destroying, you know, your household, and they're doing really self-damaging things, they may have to learn the hard way because they're so concrete and literal, not because they don't have the intelligence, a lot of anger. And so you may have to let them learn the hard way. Others may want help. It really depends on the person and the relationships they're surrounded with and the types of support that they have had. A lot of parents don't understand, or they do understand, and it's so frustrating. If you're, you know, a parent, it's frustrating. You know, you may need to go for frequent walks, exercise. You need a lot of patience, because it can be very challenging dealing with someone with NVLD, even though they don't want to be that way. I remember, you know, things that I took literally when I was a kid. I mean, somebody said they were going to hang somebody from their toenails from a tree, and I got scared and I thought, oh boy, if I do something wrong, they're going to do that to me. Things like that. That's very anxiety provoking when you really believe something like that. So there are some adults that have an over-reliance on their parents. They're calling them, they're texting all the time, and their parents don't know what to do. It can be a very, and I don't want to minimize that, it can be a very life-impacting disorder and devastating. This is why it needs to get in the DSM, and we need to get it in there so that we can start helping people at an earlier age. With intervention, it does not have to be this way. Also, therapy, I'm going to talk about when we do some interventions, is that it's so important to have the right kind of therapist, because there's such an emotional impact. Let's see, we're going to get to the next, my notes here. Give me 1 second. Okay, looks like one of my slides is out of order. Okay, so we have diagnosis. So it's really important for you to realize, even though I'm saying NVLDers, it's that we are not a label. We are people first, okay? It's just, don't get hooked on the label. We just need it to describe so that we can get help. But you're a person first. And one of the things that you're going to need to understand is for you or your kids is don't let anybody tell you who or what you can be. I was told I wasn't college material. There's a lot of successful people that were told that. Don't let anybody put limits on you. Just because you think and do things differently doesn't mean that you're any less than. It's different. Different and it's not better or worse. It's just less than. It's just less or different. I'm really confusing my words now because I'm running out of time and I'm trying to figure out what do I need to tell you. The clock is ticking. So, but you're not less than. What I meant to say is you're different, and different is not, you know, worse or better. And those with NVLD or neurodivergence tend to feel like we're in a competition. We know we have the same abilities, but we just can't do what others are doing. So it feels like it's very competitive. So the level of impairment will vary, as I've been stressing. There's disagreement in professional circles. Is there such a thing as NVLD, or is it just on the spectrum? There's a lot of disagreement. That's why we need this agreed upon and in the DSM. It used to be that you were diagnosed by if there was a gap between your performance IQ and your verbal IQ, which now I understand is a red flag, but there's other ways where they can see if you fit these patterns to be diagnosed with a nonverbal learning disorder. Again, there's much overlap. So it's a very complex, and you really need to see somebody who has experience with NVLD. You need to ask a lot of questions and find out what is their experience level, because it takes someone very skilled to and complex to figure all this out because of the overlap. I had somebody that was just diagnosed at 60 years old. And was like, I really wish I would have knew this sooner. My life would have been so different. I guess this person's life would have been different. And that's what's very sad. So again, this is why we need diagnosis. If you can't afford to get a diagnosis, I mean, many with NVLD have a hard time earning money because of their difficulties. Don't feel like, okay, there's nothing I can do to help myself. Yes, I'm talking about diagnosis, we need it, but it's expensive. If you can get online and come into my NVLD Pioneers group, you can identify with other people. So what if you happen to get a diagnosis of being on the spectrum? Take it, use it, get the services, because a lot of diagnosticians are doing that so that people can get services, even if they recognize that it's NVLD, because there's so much overlap. Don't obsess on the label so much. Just realize that you have a brain-based disorder, and that affects you, and that you're neurodivergent, and approach it from that way. Read everything you can, learn what you can about it, and then take off from there, okay? But don't feel like you can't help yourself if you don't have this particular diagnosis. Okay, so the next slide is, we're gonna talk about moving forward. I've got about 11 minutes now. As I said with diagnosis, you cannot really move forward until you do the first step. You have to realize you have a brain-based disorder. It is not your fault. It is the biology of your brain. Because NVLDers and neurodivergents tend to blame themselves because we live in this neurotypical system. Okay, and we're getting these messages. No, we're not, we're flawed. Okay, you didn't do anything to create this. It's not your fault. And it's even hard because even when you know that you have it, sometimes you think you're trying to act neurotypical all the time and fit into this mold that you're like, do I really have this? I mean, I look like everybody else. I sound like everybody else. So you really have to come to the point where, yes, it's brain-based. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault. Get the validation you need. Read books. Get in online forums. Validate yourself. Okay. You may not get it from a professional. And I'm going to talk, if I have time, I'm going to talk about that. You're the only one that can give that to yourself. You will feel relief. People that have medical diagnoses that they've gone from doctor to doctor, they finally get that label, they feel relief. After the relief though, comes a lot of grieving. And then you realize like the 60-year-old person, oh my gosh, I didn't know this. If I would have known, what would have happened to me? You kind of grieve. You go through acceptance, you go through denial, you're all around it, and then you come back through it. Some days you may be in a different part of the grieving cycle, but you will come out of it to the acceptance piece, okay? You may deny it. You may realize, I don't have this. You may think, oh, this is all made up, this disorder. You're going to have a lot of things going through your head, but you will come to acceptance. And this is what you need before you can do anything else. It is the foundation of moving forward. And this is one of the things that I work on with people. We need to demystify it, and you need to have the education. Okay, we covered that. Okay, there's that grieving cycle. Which screen is it? I have three screens, I'm sorry. You didn't see my grieving graphic, which was shock and denial, anger, depression, acceptance, okay? And that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, but it's not coming up. So just keep in mind that you may be in shock, you may deny it, you might be angry, depression, acceptance. And over time, things get better. Okay, so moving forward is a process, and there's two, that's why I put this up here. You have a responsibility, okay? You need to make things happen. Yes, moving on is a choice. There's a difference between the two. Moving on is letting things happen. Moving forward is making things happen. You have got to be a fighter. If you're not a fighter, you're not going to make it. Okay, you need resilience. Find out what works for you. Is it exercise? Is it journaling? I don't know. I had one girl that like relaxes through cooking, whatever it is. And some people with NVLD don't have, cooking is another area that's very difficult because of working memory and executive functioning. But this girl, again, no one fits it, was good at cooking. And that was her thing. You need to find something. And it may be hard because you may have tried lots of things and you might not be good at them. I remember panicking, didn't thinking I was going to be able to find anything I could do. Everything I tried was a disaster. I finally found some success in the theater, and I was very good and talented doing plays and such. So whatever it is for you, find it. Okay. Learn about it. Demystify it. Get the education. Parents, you need to do accountability. You need to learn how to keep your kids accountable. No one's coming to save you. You've got to be a fighter. The Chinese proverb, you get down 7 times, you get up 8 times. Don't get into do these 10 things and you'll be fine. There's a lot of articles out there like that for everything, ADD, whatever it is. It's more about lessons, the process, and the journey. Get rid of naysayers in your life. They are toxic to you. I know you want friends, but they're not worth having if they're not supportive and they're making you feel worse because they don't believe in NVLD or those who are neurodivergent. Don't let others determine who you are. Weed them out until you find your tribe. So you have to have that mindset that you're going to make things happen. You have to be hungry. You have to figure out and try other ways. You have to do things that are unconventional that other people have not done. Take matters into your own hands. Don't let a professional decide for you or wait for them. You can figure it out. You have to go into your internal resource. Yes, you may be depressed. You may be bedridden. And I am not minimizing that. I have been there myself. But eventually, you're going to have to deal with this. And you're going to have to find a way to do it. And you can do it. It's like the tortoise and the hare. You know, you're going to work harder than other people. And as a real result of that, you can surpass other people. We really need to have parents not instill learned helplessness. You can hold your kids accountable with love. And that's, well, I have 5 minutes left, so I really can't go into too much about that. So here with the remaining 5 minutes that I have, I am going to share with you kind of what can you do. We have 5 minutes. You need to get the right kind of help. I had gone from therapist to therapist to therapist, not knowing about NVLD. You're fine. You have a college degree. You know, you have a master's degree. You're so well-spoken. You're a classroom teacher. You know, you won an award for your teaching abilities, not knowing I was dying inside and what it was taking out of me to do that. And I could not keep doing that because it took so much out of me and it was mentally exhausting. I had to work so hard, like 24/7. To get those results, working in with a neurotypical mindset. So what you have to do is, I've talked about identification, diagnostic, demystification, education, grieving the person that you thought you were going to be to who you are. life may not be what you thought it was going to be, that picture you had in your mind. You're going to have to live it with the way it is in your mind. Get weeding your garden, getting rid of others. You have to find the right therapist. The wrong therapist can do more damage. Not looking to bash therapist, but the wrong one can make matters worse for you. It can actually be invalidating. If it's not a right fit, keep going and going until you find one. Many say they know about NVLD and they've read a little bit about it, but that doesn't mean they know how to treat it. And others do. Okay, DBT is a form that can really help. It's used for people that have borderline personality disorder. NVLDers may have that in addition or may not, but there's a lot of the same symptoms and overlap. Okay, and you know, I would venture to say that the two can be confused because borderline is you do have a deep sense of abandonment. And you can have that with NVLD when you need other people to help you and you don't know who you are, you can feel very empty inside. That can be a very expensive therapy, thousands and thousands of dollars. A lot of families don't like it. They want the whole family involved in it, but it can work if it's done in the right way. You don't need to have that kind of therapist. If you can't afford that money, you can get a book. You can go through it. You can have a parent, a friend, a mentor, somebody help you with it. You need help in real time. You know, I was between therapy appointments. I was dying. You know, I can't just wait to see somebody once or twice a week. There's stuff going on in real time. You need to understand, how are you going to deal with your boss? How are you going to deal with the friend? How are you going to understand what's going on? You can't wait until another to an hour a week. You need to, with texting and phone calls and coaching, which I do a lot of, you can get that help. You have to find the right people. It could be a therapist. It could be a pastor. It could be a grandparent. It could be several people because you have a lot of needs. And you need patient people to help you. You can learn and you can get social skills, communication, and learn that. I started doing this back in the day when we didn't have social emotional learning wasn't even a field or studied. So it is possible. I've helped thousands of people. Read books instead of people. If you can't read people, learn things from books that you're not picking up. One of the books that really helped me was The Road Less Traveled. It taught me about love and intimate relationships. You're not picking things up. You need to find it a different way. And we're very good at reading and most love reading. And if it's your area of interest, you can learn a lot and fill in the gaps that way. One of the things I do is my protocol is, because we don't have the research, what works for me, I have come up with my own protocol. When I get somebody, I assess them. I see what the cognitive processing weaknesses are, the underlying skills of executive functioning that nobody really talks about. They're not compensatory strategies. We can directly develop working memory, long-term memory, auditory visual processing by doing mental skills exercise training. That's what I do first. Then I reassess it and we see it's not a magic pill, but if you can improve, you know, 30%, that's going to impact your life. Then we go into social skills training and emotional communication learning. Then it's parent training. Okay, then it's tutoring. After those skills are remediated, you shouldn't need a tutor the rest of your life. It's tutoring is designed to be a short-term process. Learn the information, then move on. You want to be independent. Okay, then you learn life skills, coaching. So this is a system that I have developed that has helped people with NVLD over the years. I have so much more to tell you and I just can't. I have 3 minutes left. Okay. You can also look around at the site and see what I do to help people. You can also go to my free group, which is NVLD Pioneers on Facebook. We're pioneers because we're a grassroots effort. We are helping people. Okay. Parents, it's open to everyone, parents and adults, because the adults are helping the parents understand. What can they do? We are grassroots effort. We are helping each other so that we know what works before the research comes out. We can't wait 20 years. We don't know when it's going to come out. Be wary of scams, but you have to be willing to try new things. Get on here and start talking to people. And this is where I can interact with you and answer your questions. So that is really all I need to say to you. I'm looking at my notes here and I actually have 1 minute left now. So contact me, get on my email list and, you know, join the group and I can do my best to help you. I hope that I have demystified for you. Thank you for bearing with me because I've had a hard time with these three screens looking at my notes. I know I fumbled a few times. So I really hope that this presentation helped you and you understand a lot more about NVLD than you did 45 minutes ago. Thank you. Remember, when you've met one person with NVLD, you've met one person with NVLD. Have a great day.